Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you on Radio 720. WGN. Little Guns N' Roses to get your morning started. Guns N' Roses announced this week they're reuniting for Coachella. They have not said anything else since. It's supposed to be the original lineup. We don't know who it's actually going to be. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. Good morning, Roger Badish. How are you?
Well, good morning, Matt Bubala. Long time no see.
I know. It's been forever. I thought you and I were going to work more over the break, but now I'm trying to remember the last time I was here at this time. I think it's been almost a month.
At least, if not 5 weeks.
I miss seeing Patty, and I miss seeing you.
Yeah, I miss you, too. I mean, people who filled in for you, I love being with them, too.
I understand, and I appreciate all the folks who stayed up late to hang out with you guys when in my absence while I was filling in on other shows.
Yeah. Well, they were putting you all over the place.
I got to do Mr. Cochran's show a couple times. I did Roe once. I did Justin's Download once.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. You know what's funny?
What?
So I did the morning show 3 days after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke less in the 5 hours I was doing those shows than we speak here in the 3 hours I do this show.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on in the morning.
Like about 500 people in the studio.
Oh, my God. And there were nobody. The only person who actually worked was Dean.
Oh.
Nobody else from the morning show was there the entire time. But Dean showed up every day. God bless Dean.
There you go.
Hardest working man. And I think he is probably the hardest. I mean,
probably.
Dean does the Sunday morning show. He does the 5 days a week on the WGN Morning News.
And he's always traveling.
And he's always going to some premiere to see a film, to interview A-list stars.
Mm-hmm. That's a very cool job. I would love to. Yeah, who was I hanging with? Yeah, I was, you know, J.J. Abrams yesterday. We were having a couple of drinks.
You know what? See, but I if we really got Dean here and he could really talk candidly about it.
Oh, never.
I think that he would say, yeah, it's a good job, because nobody wants to hear Dean go, oh, this job sucks, because everybody's like, please, like you just said. And you know how business works, or the entertainment business. You think, oh, that would be such a cool job. I think you do that job for about 3 months, you're like, oh my God, this is awful. Because
well, come
you think
every
about,
day.
Oh, I get to go have drinks with J.J. Abrams. When's Dean out having drinks with J.J. Abrams? That's probably not happening.
Yeah, well,
he gets to interview J.J. Abrams for 5 minutes,
and then
one of like 500 people interviewing him.
Right.
And a lot of times these people are bored with the questions, and so Dean's probably, like, I would imagine, feeling pressure to think, what can I ask them that not everybody else here has asked them? What can I do to make this a little more interesting and fun? And then sometimes he gets Mel Gibson getting pissed off at him, calling him a,
that
you know,
was interesting.
And different, who else was, Selena Gomez hung up on him, basically, or, you know, quit answering questions, pretended she couldn't hear him. So, you know, that's the thing, is you want to ask something that isn't just, how was your new movie? You want to ask a real question. He asked a question about Justin Bieber, and Selena Gomez freaked out on him.
Well, I'll tell you, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because I worked in Vegas for 3.5 years. So I was doing radio out there, and I was filing reports for the networks.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, it's like, who do I got to go interview now? Oh, okay, let me run over. Hi, I'm with AP, or I'm with K-Dawn Radio. Let me ask you a couple questions. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, I got to go cover the fights. You know, here's this guy. When's he coming in? I got to file my report. And after a while, it's just like, who are you? What did you do? Okay, fine. You know, boom. And then you get the story done, and you move on to the next thing.
That's a tough thing, because maybe it was something really interesting. You didn't have time to read 20 different articles to find that interesting nugget to then enjoy doing that interview. You just had to get it done.
Exactly. Like the when I interviewed James Doohan of Star Trek.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, is that Scotty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and this was right before.
You have to say James Doohan, I think, in an accent for it to register.
If people start taking showers with their clothes on.
I had to interview James Doohan.
James Doohan?
Like that. Yeah.
Well, that was an accent of his.
Yeah.
But
wait, that wasn't his real voice?
That was not his real voice.
I didn't know that.
He does Scotty? Scotty does not have a Scottish accent.
I didn't know that.
No. He was just, but he does voices. I've got the interview.
Is he still with us, by
the way? No, he's passed away. But I've got the interview. It was a four-minute, well, actually, I interviewed him a lot longer, but it was a four-minute report for Associated Press.
Right.
And it was right before the first Star Trek, the bad one, movie came out.
Did you tell him that in the interview?
V'ger. I'm sorry, what?
Did you tell him that it was a bad movie? When you
Well, this was before it came out.
Oh, you didn't.
He was kind of making
screening.
The rounds, just happened to be in Vegas, and I hooked up with him for an interview. But, you know, Star Trek was not, it hadn't grown to the proportions that it is now.
Yeah.
As far as the following. And so I knew who he was, and I thought, oh, cool, I'm talking to Scotty. You know, and I was just as surprised when he says, hey, how you doing? You know, and he didn't have a Scottish accent.
Did he sound like a New Yorker?
Not quite. But there was no, the point was there was no Scottish accent.
Were you stunned when you, did? Was just that your moment of finding second. That out? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Because I'd been talking to the press guy before that, setting it up.
Right.
You know, so I'd say, hi, how you doing? Roger Badish, KDON Radio, Associated Press. And he goes, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, okay, just roll with that and keep going. And did the interview. Very, very nice man. Very great interview. He went along with everything I asked him to do. I says, could you kind of do the Scottish accent? honest to God. And then he says, well, I guess if I didn't do a Scottish accent, nobody would know who I was.
And that's the truth. And I wonder, and I don't know if he what else he was in his career. I'm sure a lot of things. All these old actors, yeah. If you look at their IMDb page, it's a million things long, right? But mm-hmm. I have no idea what else he was in. But I'm guessing that when he went in for a role, they'd be like, well, we're thinking this would be played by a Scottishman. Can you do
that? Exactly. And that's what everyone, he admitted that. That's what everyone thinks. And he said his biggest fan base, his biggest group of fans were in Scotland.
That's funny because you would think there they're like,
speak.
You would think there they're like, God, he sucks at that. That's not an accent. But apparently they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thought he did well.
But at the moment, who knew when I did the interview, who knew it would grow into the multi-billion dollar industry that it is today? So I just took it like, all right, you know, there's a movie coming out.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
Well, the TV show was already out, right?
No, the TV show
was long gone.
It was
actually.
Long
That's
gone.
Right.
This
That's
was
right.
their return.
That's right.
And
the first movie was no good? I thought the first movie.
The V'ger?
What's V'ger? Voyager?
It was Voyager, yeah.
Why do you call it V'ger?
Well, because that's what the voice would say through, what's her name, the model that was the actress and became the voice of V'ger.
I do not,
and then they had
I
to
do
rub,
not remember this movie well.
Yeah,
enough,
then they had to rub the letters off of the Voyager spacecraft, and they saw that it said Voyager and not V'ger. They had to clean the dirt off. And, you know, the satellite, whatever, the entity took over the being, what's her name, Kenyatta something or other. She was the model who was on the spacecraft and was taken over, and she spoke for V'ger.
Okay.
With a little echo.
I'm going to trust you on that, and I'm not going to go back and watch it because I'm just not that big of a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen Star Wars twice in recent weeks.
I still have to go.
You haven't gone, Rod?
I haven't had time. We've been so busy.
Do you know everything that happens in it right now? That's curious.
I know.
Do you know the big thing that happens?
I've seen, as I quickly scroll past.
Mm-hmm. When it says spoiler, do not go further, you keep going?
I scroll past it real fast, and I don't click on it. But there was one where they put it right there. It's like five words, and I saw it. I go, oh, no, I don't want to. And so I think I know something that I'm not going to say, but I'm going to wait until I go see it. So I'll just have to wait.
Do it soon.
There's no excuses in the world.
It's okay. You know what the excuse is? I didn't want to go when everybody was going because it's a pain in the butt to go. And then, you know,
well, I just don't want to go to one. See, I have a fear over the years. I used to love going to movie theaters as a kid. Loved it. Now I hate it. I hate the noise coming in from other theaters. I hate people with their cell phones out during the whole movie, not talking on it, but just the light on.
That's so interesting. I've never really encountered that. I've never had a bad time where I'm in the theater.
Always.
I'm like, wait, I can hear the other theater. Or these people are...
Kids coming in, like, I'm talking parents with kids, like three-year-olds or two-year-olds or babies. people coming in after the opening has started.
Roger.
And then deciding, let's stand right in front of Badish.
Can you give us a real quick, hey, kids, get off my lawn?
Hey, kids, get off my lawn.
Yeah, you've got it down. You are there, my friend.
Thank you.
That is where you are at, Roger Badish. All right, we'll get back into Star Wars different things later in the show, but I do want to do something right now, and I need your participation. 312-981-7200. Let's Patty started talking about the lottery. Let's keep up with that. Let's get into that happy room. John Williams and I used to talk about this. Whenever the lottery got big, we would buy tickets, we would get in fights about it, but we would get into our happy room about what if we won. What would you do? The numbers are staggering. We'll go over them, but I want you to call and tell me because I know that you've thought about it. Even if you're not out buying a ticket, you've probably thought about if I won, and what would you do? Let's talk about that next. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. This is good happy room music. I like this.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way.
Tell him, Frank.
Of running out. You're on this date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners.
Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. We're getting into our happy room.
Thank you for playing that.
You win $800 million. 312-981-7200. What would you do if you won $800 million? Dan and Roger, let's go to you two first. First of all, reportedly should make $800 million.
If you take it over...
Well, yeah, here's the thing. So they're saying up to $800 million right now. So it sounds like they're assuming it's going to reach that because it's at fever proportions, right? So $800 million. That's over 29 years if you take the annuity. $800 million divided by 29 years. So what is that, Roger? That's a lot of money every year for 29
years.
It's
a heck of a lot.
That's what that is.
Yep.
That's about, just under $30 million a year for 29
years.
And
I'll be 90-something.
But you'd be one happy 90-year-old. Okay. Or... You take the lump cash payout, which they're estimating right now would be at $496 million. So assume it's going to go up a little bit, $500 million.
Right.
Lump cash payout, $500 million. Then you pay all your taxes.
Right.
I assume that to be at about 40%. I think I heard maybe even
easily.
A little higher.
Easily.
But let's say 40%. So 40% of...
275, $290 million, something like that.
So I assume...
Leftover.
Well, you get $300 million. So if it's 40%, you get 60% of every $100 million. So you'd get $300 million afterwards. $300 million cleaning out.
Mm-hmm.
No more Uncle Sam, no more anything else.
Right.
$300 million.
Right. But you got to make it last for a lifetime.
How long are you going to live?
You don't know.
Not that long. Not with $300 million, you're not. I'll tell you that much.
Well, if you go into hiding.
You're not going to be Mr. Healthy for the next. You're not going to be like, well, I really shouldn't. I'm trying to be healthy so I can, you know, live long. You're going to have an extra drink. You're going to have something bad to eat. You can do a lot of things, I think. Now, maybe not you, because you've had health problems. You're more attuned and smart, maybe, about these things at this point in life.
Yeah.
I think the rest of us, Dan Long, he wins $300 million. Oh, God. That he'd have to set $200 million aside for bail and try to live off the $100 million. That's my guess. Just a guess. Dan, I don't know you that well, but that's my guess. From the little I know of you, I'd say...
I don't want to say that that's
inaccurate. I'd say you're too young for $300 million. That's... I think that's a point. Dan, how old are you?
I'm 26.
You're 26? God, that's really young.
It is.
Wow. Jesus.
It's a, I can't even lie and say that I'd be responsible with it.
No, you wouldn't, because you're 26.
Yeah.
You're not married yet, right? You don't have kids,
right?
Yep,
I'm single.
You got no, oh, God. That's you can't give a single man at the age of 26, or woman, let's not be sexist, $300 million. That's just too much. That's too much.
He'd
too
be
fast.
Back here in 2 days.
Be back producing in the middle of the
He'd
night
be back
shift.
In 2 days. He says, all right, I'm done. I can see him walking back in.
Man.
I'm done.
Now, Roger, let me ask you, will you buy a ticket for tomorrow night?
No.
For tonight. It's tonight, actually.
It's tonight, yeah.
You will not buy a ticket.
No. I stopped. I never was a lottery person because I didn't believe in the odds. So
Odds are not with you.
They never
One
are.
In 292 million.
I learned this in Vegas. Only bring, I learned a lot in Vegas, only bring enough money you're prepared to lose.
That's, and you know what? That has been my theory for years on gambling. Mm-hmm. I gamble very little, but like we join fantasy football every year and we do a confidence pool for football. We'll buy Super Bowl scores.
Okay.
We do stuff like that. And when I go to Vegas, I have to go there for business every year. Generally, I don't play, but maybe I'll go play some blackjack and I'll bring $40 or $100,
right.
But I bring, it's, and like you said, only bring what you're prepared to lose.
Right.
That's what you do. And don't then go to the ATM. Don't start thinking, I'm going to win this back. Mm-hmm. You are there to spend money just like you would if you were buying concert tickets or anything else.
Right.
This is the money I am prepared to blow. If somehow I walk away with some of this, oh, my God, that's a gift from heaven. You know, that's the deal. Right.
Thursday night's bowling. We have a mystery pot. I put a dollar in.
Woof.
Big time spender.
High stakes.
Well, yeah, you know what? Guy won $105 last night.
It's a lot of people bowling.
Yeah. Then there's handicap pot. That's $5 for all three games. And there's the mystery pot. I did that. And then team, like you could team up with somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And so like last night, I bowled pretty good, or Thursday night, I bowled pretty good. I thought, wow, I might win the handicap pot because my handicap is still up there. I missed it by 2 pins.
You are not ready for $300 million,
no.
Roger, at the level
no.
you're gambling
I can't,
right
no.
now. I think it's probably good that you're... All right, we're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. But I bet Roger, I bet Dan, and I know I have been in this happy room before where we think about, but if I did win...
Who says I don't think about it?
I know you do, even though you're not playing.
Oh, I got
so
all
kinds
of plans.
So you have no chance of having it. You have plans
right.
where you're going to... All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to hit
okay.
the news.
Okay.
We're going to talk about what we would do, and we'd love to talk to you as well. 312-981-7200. News is next on 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show, Radio 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up even later with us, or getting up really early with us, whatever you're doing. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. It's a quiet night on Michigan Avenue, and the weather hasn't turned as of yet. We'll check in more with Roger on that as the night goes on. But right now, just take a moment, close your eyes, think about $300 million. That's after the payout. That's after taxes. That's in your bank account now, and Uncle Sam can't touch it because you already paid the taxes. Now you are left with $300 million.
Can I drool on the air?
You can, but you just buy one ticket. Can you just go spend?
Me?
Is the power? I can't remember. Mega Millions and Powerball. One of them is $2. One of them is $1.
I've never played the Powerball before. I've only played like the local, like the Illinois lottery.
Why would you play that one? You
well,
can't
when
win hardly anything.
When it was getting up big. One
oh,
time
back
I
in the
did.
Day before the big these lotteries were around. Remember
oh,
when
yeah, yeah,
there
yeah,
was the
yeah.
Illinois lottery gave out $40 million.
Right.
It was such a big deal. That's
yeah.
like, God, 30 years
And that
ago
was
now.
Before they had approved. The Powerball.
Before there was a national line.
Right,
yeah.
right.
So one of them is $1, one of them is $2. I can't remember which this one is. So spend $1 or $2, Roger, just buy one
All right.
ticket.
All right.
Just one. Thank you. Thank you.
Where should I go get it?
Just your local 7-Eleven, Mobile, BP, whoever sells
yeah.
it.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
Doesn't matter. I don't think there's a lucky place necessarily.
Well, I want to go to a place that's had a lot of winners.
I would think that that means you have less of a chance. Now, I remember a couple of years ago there being a story about multiple winners from one, you know.
Yeah.
Mini Mart or something,
mm-hmm.
but
like
I mean,
way out in somewhere.
The odds are so astronomical.
Yeah.
It's silly to.
Yeah.
Although when I would travel, I would try to buy one in a different state because it seems like nobody ever wins in Illinois. Although we
yeah.
did have a winner, I think in downstate Illinois earlier this year.
No. It was a couple of years ago, but
that was
the state. That was the Illinois one because I remember they did a story with
Didn't
them.
Somebody win Powerball or Mega Millions or something. I swear, somebody from Illinois has cashed in recently on one
on
of
Powerball.
One of them, yeah. I don't know. Powerball or Mega Millions. We do both.
Wait, Mega... What's that one?
Oh, my God, Roger. What are
I've you? I've heard of it, but I
Who
don't do
you?
It, so I don't...
Well,
is that another
I don't know, there's
multi-state?
Two... yes. In fact, somebody texted just tonight, somebody won $165 million.
Oh, my gosh.
In the Mega Millions, which is chintzy compared to $800
million. Well, no way.
That's like, yeah, throw back that small fish.
I'll be his best friend.
Take the $165 million and buy all Powerball tickets now. I'm going to invest all $165 million in Powerball tickets. Yeah, so there's two national lotteries,
all right.
Powerball and Mega Millions. Powerball right. we had for a long time. We've always had Powerball, and then we added Mega Millions.
Okay.
So there's two different multi-state lotteries.
So they draw them at the same time?
No. So Mega Millions was on Friday night, and I think it's Tuesday and Friday for Mega and Wednesday and Saturday for Powerball.
Okay. All right.
So tonight, Saturday night, will be
Powerball.
Okay, so do one. Do at least one ticket.
When I go home in the morning... Because I sleep all day before I come back tomorrow night. So I'll buy one.
On your way back in.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you got to do it before 9 o'clock, though. I think the drawing's at 9.
Drawing's at 9.
So
okay,
do
I'll
it
do
sometime.
It before then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I so when I produced John Williams for 10 years here in the middays and afternoons everywhere that John worked,
mm-hmm.
Whenever the lottery got, because I won't, I won't play it unless it's $100 million. That's my starting point. That's when I jump in on the lottery. We get to $100 million, then I'm like, okay.
But are your chances better when it's, because I'm sure you're not the only one who thinks that. Are your chances better if you do it early before it hits $100 million?
Of course not.
Oh,
they're right. Still randomly drawing numbers every week. It makes no difference at all. You still have absolutely no chance of winning. No matter what, no matter how much it is, how little it is, you have absolutely no chance of winning. So go buy a ticket. I mean, it's one in 292 million.
I know.
You have much better chance of, what is it, of getting struck. God, what did I just read today? Not just lightning, but like a terrorist. Like there's 8 million different things that you have way better chance of.
You know, Rob Martier played me part of an interview that was on a guy, a mathematician, was on Rose Show today.
Okay.
And the guy said there's a greater chance of the Cubs winning the World Series for the next 5 years than you winning the lottery.
I think the Cubs could win the World Series. That's off
for the
topic,
next 5 years.
Roger. Yes.
Giving you
off
a reference.
Topic. Off
a
topic.
Reference. A reference.
Anyways.
Okay.
So John and I used to, so I won't play unless it gets to $100 million.
Right.
Because it has to change my life forever.
That would do
50
it.
Million should, but if you think about 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
Lump sum is going to be like $30 million. After taxes, you're down to what, $18 million? Now you're thinking, well, I could see I blow $18 million. Bad investments,
right.
Solar, I don't know. What. Somehow, $100 million, now I'm thinking, okay,
yeah.
Generations of Bubalas.
Mm-hmm. College.
Yes,
there you
exactly.
go. Home, paid
so
off.
So when we hit $100 million on the John Williams Show, I would say, okay, guys, we got to buy lottery tickets. And I would get this started, and John always wanted us to each throw in a dollar. And then I would get really annoyed and be like, we can't throw in a dollar. It'd be John and me and Ann Maxfield and Steve Bertrand and whoever else was around.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get people to throw in, and I would want everybody to throw in five. And John would be like, no, we're doing a dollar. And I'd be so upset at him. Here, I'm the producer. You're the host. You're making the real money. I'm making nothing. And I'm like, come on, dude, $5. He's like, I'll give you a dollar. So then we'd buy these tickets. And we would throw in the money, and then after we bought the tickets, somebody else would say, oh, I wish I could have gotten in on that. John would sell them a share of his tickets.
What?
Yes.
His $1?
He'd be like, well, give me a dollar, and I'll get you in on this. And I'm like, you can't do that. That's your part. They're not a whole share. So we'd have these big, terrible moments of like, what the hell are you doing, John? You can't do that. He'd be like, what? It's a big deal. I'm just taking their money. We're not going to win.
That's funny.
And but we would go into our happy rooms and think about what would we do. And so when I drive in from West Dundee, I pass by O'Hare, and there's a big board, a big billboard that's a lottery billboard. And it has both the Powerball and Mega Millions current jackpot and when the next drawing is on the board. And so whenever I pass down and it gets to be a big number, I look at it and then I start thinking because I got another 40 minutes at least to get into the city from there.
Sure.
Sometimes a lot longer. So I'll start thinking about, okay, what would I do? Now, Roger, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, and I used to know this. I can't remember if I know it exactly. I believe that under IRS rules, you can gift a certain amount of money to somebody every year that is tax-free.
Yes.
I want to say that's $10,000.
It's changed since I first had to deal with it, and the first time I had to deal with it, I was on the receiving end.
Very nice.
And as far as part of his taxes, my dad would do every year that we would... The kids would receive a certain amount of money, and he would be able to deduct that from his taxes. That's how I know about it.
Okay.
Is because he used to do it. I'm poor, and so there's not much that I can give away to. I'm still using the short form. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I've only gotten so far that I'm on the short form.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't own. I don't need to itemize anything. One year I tried to and it wasn't the recent illness, it was a long time ago, when we had a lot of expenses, medical expenses, and I couldn't even come up with enough of that to warrant the long form. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So I would think about, and this is what I would start thinking about as I'm driving in. So anything less than $14,000, you shouldn't have to pay taxes on, it sounds like, is what I'm reading.
Okay.
Just a quick.
As far as gifting. Now, is it just once
I think annually. I think annually you could do that.
Okay,
so
okay.
I always thought, and I believe that, so I think if you're married and as a couple giving, I believe it doubles. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I thought $20,000 per person if it was Colleen and I said.
All right, sure.
So I came up with a list of everybody in the family and what we would do. Like, so instead of like, okay, I'm going to give my brother $1 million. Well, then my brother's got to go pay $400,000 in taxes. Mm-hmm. That seems dumb. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that with my money, Roger.
I hear you.
I'm going to give him $40,000 a year or whatever for the next 20 years or for the rest of his life. Now, I would help my brother, my mom, my sister, all the close circle. I had layers. Mm-hmm. I had circles and layers.
Right.
Here's the immediate
family. Totally logical.
Here's
sure.
Here's the close friends. Here's mm-hmm. the old college. And I would figure out my circle.
Okay.
And I had terrible plans of, okay, so when we win, what do you do in that moment? So say I never watched the drawing. I don't think I've ever happened to catch the drawing. And I'll think about it. I'll get online, like maybe late in the night, Kelly and I are watching TV. I'll think, oh, that's right, that drawing was tonight. I should get online and find out. And I'm always surprised there's not more immediate information. You got to think in the age of technology that they immediately know once the number's drawn, run it through a computer.
Right.
One ticket was sold at a grocery store in Richmond, West Virginia. That doesn't get announced until like a day or so later. It's never like, and there's a winner at so-and-so. You would think right as they announce it, and just give us a second to say, oh, there's one ticket was sold. Eight tickets were sold.
Yeah.
They never announce that right away. I'm always like going on the website.
I bet you
they don't know
before they announce it. I bet you they know within an hour of pulling the ticket where the winners are.
You would think they could know in 12 seconds.
Well, they do announce within a couple of hours there's a winner or there's no winner.
I feel like it's always the next morning that we're hearing about it. Maybe it's out and I'm just hearing it the next morning.
Yeah.
Either way, it's been frustrating in the past.
Well,
I go on the website
sure
and I don't know.
Yeah.
But so,
especially when they don't call your name right away.
Well, they don't know your name at first. They just know.
Oh, they just know the number. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And they'll know where they bought the ticket.
That's right. Yeah.
So I would think about, okay, what do you do the moment you win the lottery? So if you
when you wake up, like after you recover from passing out.
Well, would you pass out? I mean, would that happen? I don't know what would happen. I mean, for this amount of money. I would think I'd be like, wow.
I'd be in shock. I think you would be.
I think I'd keep looking at it and thinking, well, that can't be real. And then I think, all right, did one of the kids switch out this ticket? Did somebody do something? You know, seriously, I'd think about it. Could this? And I'd recheck it on different websites, and I'm sure I'd do a few different things. But I wouldn't tell anybody. I don't even know, honestly, Roger.
Oh, you'd tell your wife.
I don't know if I'd tell Colleen.
Oh, you would.
She would be so. She'd be so upset.
She would see you gasping for breath. After you've triple checked it,
I wonder if I would be gasping. For
you
breath.
Would. You would
think
be like,
so? I'd be like, honey, you're not going to be happy with this.
Yeah, right, honey.
Because Colleen has always said she never. See, this is the thing. I won't play until it's $100 million.
Right.
Colleen has always said she would be upset if we won more than $100,000 ever.
Why?
Because she feels that.
Oh, it would change you.
It would change you.
Yeah.
It changes your marriage. It changes your life. And not for the best. And we'll read about, I have an article of 21 lottery winners who blew it all.
Oof.
People have a propensity for really screwing up their lives when they suddenly come into that ridiculous amount of money. But so what would you do in the moment? So you say I would tell Colleen, I think I might hold off for a moment.
She would find out.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, Roger. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, now that you've warned me of this, I'm not going to check the numbers when I'm around her. I'm going to wait till I have some mat time.
You got to make sure. Yeah, you've got to make sure that there's at least 3 hours, 3 hours where she's not going to see you or hear
you. Think that's what it'd take me to
about especially
breathing in a paper
amount.
Bag for 3 hours.
Yes, I think you're just going to have to detox.
That could
for
be.
About three
that
hours.
Be. That could be.
Then you'll be okay to just walk out and say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" And just go about your business like nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got a point there. Okay, so then, but then, Roger, so then what do you do? Because I'm fully of the belief that you do not tell anybody. You try not to say anything.
You got to go to a lawyer. You got
to
go to your lawyer.
So I have an accountant for Black Dog Radio for my company, and I call her, and I say, Marcy.
And he or she is sworn to secrecy.
Good point. I'd say we have some sort of doctor-client privilege, even though you're my accountant, right?
Exactly.
And she would say, I don't know. And I'd
give
say,
her a form sworn to secrecy first.
I got to make a, what are those called? What do we sign?
Confidentiality agreement.
Yeah, I got to sign a non-disclosure.
Non-disclosure.
NDA. We're going to make you sign an NDA, Marcy.
Right.
And here's the deal.
And then go over
I just won $800 million. And we got to figure this out. Because
and then you have to give her the, you know, the smelling salts, wake her up.
She would be like, you know, Matt, I forgot to mention the fees really got higher. This year, starting with 2016, I meant to mention that earlier, but like they're astronomical.
Yeah,
now
you got a problem.
And you're signed into a long-term contract.
Yeah.
And I owe her money right now, so she'd really be like, dude, you're so paying it all back. And then I think I would try to go as long as possible because, you know, they're going to want to have a big press conference.
Well, you've got like a year.
You have a year.
Yeah.
How in the world could you imagine trying to sit on that for a year?
No way. I'd be all over. You know me. I'd be all over Twitter and Facebook. All.
Would you really?
Oh, my God.
Hey, guess what? I won $800 million.
Oh, my God. I'd be going nuts.
I think that would be the worst thing you could do.
I know.
You cannot tell everybody.
I know.
You would suddenly get to know people. So here's what I would do, right? I would go see Marcy, and we'd find a lawyer, and we'd figure out, well, what is the best scenario for all this? How do you handle this? Because and my kids were asking me about this. Like, what would you do? And Colleen, you know, and these articles, everybody gets me worried about, mm-hmm. you know, will it? So since I have a little company, my theory is I would treat this as an investor in my company. Somebody came in and invested money in
the
company.
Well, you could make yourself a I'm trying to think of the letter, LLC. You can make yourself into a company.
Mm-hmm.
You have a company,
yeah.
but you can make yourself into a company and loan the money or invest the money
yeah.
in the other company.
And that's what I would do. I wouldn't make my life about you know, just giving people money.
Of no, course, no, no.
I would have Colleen form a charitable arm.
Right.
And then we would look at, you know, our college.
That's how
our
the
high
rich
schools,
guys do
things
it.
Like that.
Yeah.
And we would look at, you know, needy things. I would, honest to God, I mm-hmm. would, before anybody ever found out, I would get a new cell phone with a new number. I'd keep
yeah.
the old one, but then very few people would get the new number because
right.
you know that your listed places, people have it, and you would just, I would have to imagine.
I wouldn't give it to anyone, and I wouldn't even make it.
I can only imagine the calls you would get from some long-lost cousin who's like, hey, I saw you on That's So Great. We're so happy for you. And you're like, yeah, but I haven't talked to you in 30 years.
Right.
Oh, I know, but I just wanted to say hi. And by the way, Uncle
Here's
Fred,
another suggestion. Here's another suggestion.
Change my name.
Well, that too. But so how old are the kids now?
Jack is 14 years
old. Okay, all right. All right, right. So now you set up, and I don't know if this goes with the money you can give as a gift every year, but you would set up
a trust
yeah. fund that they can't touch until they're 21.
That early? See, that's interesting, well, Roger, because here's what I look at, like Paris Hilton's of the world and people like that. If my kids know that at 21, I'm getting all, I don't think I would do that for them. Now, I would set up something so that their college is paid for, their kids' college is paid for, and maybe
set up
four or five
funds.
Generations down the line.
Two trust
but
funds.
I don't know that I would, you hit 21, you're in 10
but
million.
But here's the deal. Set up two trust funds. One, a college trust fund to pay for their college, and then a second trust fund when they graduate college.
That's a good idea. But I still don't think it would be a...
But you're not going to give them a lot, just like a little enough to get them
I don't think it would be once
started.
You graduate from college, you get X amount of dollars. It would be you start getting $20,000 a year.
Or that's fine.
Because think about it. When
whatever
you were 20,
is protected.
22, 23, Dan, right out of school and starting to work. If you just had an extra 20 grand a year, how much easier... Right now.
Yeah, sure. Right now it would...
If you had just... For me, at the age of 44, owning a business for 10 years, if somebody said, hey, I'll give you 20 grand a year, I'd be like, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah, right.
That is the greatest news ever. We're going to pay down the stupid home equity loan and the business loan and God knows what else we owe to everybody in the world. That would be fabulous. Thank you.
But again, that would be protected money that you would then pay the tax on at the time you use it, kind of like an IRA.
Something along those lines.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Say, yeah. I'm sure there's got to be. The rich people do it.
I'd call my new friend Warren Buffett and get some advice.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and that's how we plan it out. I mean, I seriously have thought too much about this. I'm really prepared to win the lottery. I think it would be justifiable for the lottery gods to say, you know what,
sure.
Matt's really thought about this and he's thought it out and he's planned it out well. I think we should let him have a crack at it.
You said Warren Buffett, and the scenario just played out in my head.
And Paul McCartney ice cream in Omaha?
I could just, no, not even that. It's just ring, ring. Hello, Warren Buffett. Yeah, Warren. It's Matt Bubala. I just won $400 million. I'm sorry, what did you want?
I think he'd take that call. Why?
He would laugh his ass off.
Why?
Because it's a drop in the bucket to what he's got.
But I bet, listen, yes, A, but I bet he takes calls from people with $400 million.
I bet he does. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think he'd laugh that hard.
Well, he'd laugh.
I want to find out. Maybe he'd laugh. I don't know.
Snicker?
He had a bad year, by the way. He had a bad year. His investment magic did not work in 2015. There were stories at the end of the year that he had a down year, worse than the market and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, but you know what? With how much he's got?
True. But when you get to that much, I don't think for them it's about how much they have. It's about how well they're still working and playing the game. I mean, listen, Warren's not young, right?
He's not.
He's in his 70s, I'm going to guess.
I think early 80s.
Early 80s. He's so. Still working hard playing the game. He doesn't need to. He should be on a beach somewhere having a margarita.
No.
But he's working. He's in Omaha. For God's sakes, the man hasn't left Omaha. Who makes that much money and doesn't leave Omaha? I mean, listen, I'd still visit. I'd hang out in Omaha. But I'd move. I'd be maybe, I wonder. I never hear about Warren Buffett. You know, he didn't marry Salma Hayek. It's not like Warren has, you know, gone crazy.
Yeah.
Like some investors do. He lives in Omaha.
Yeah.
And
probably still buys his suits at Kmart, I bet you.
He's 85, by the way.
Is there still a Kmart? I know that it still exists, but I bet it's hard to find one.
Well, probably in Omaha there's one. That's probably all.
Maybe.
That
maybe he owns it.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's why it would be there.
Mike has a story about a Florida winner of the lottery. We got to take a quick break. We'll talk to him before the news next on 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show, Radio 720 WGN. We're in our happy room, everybody, talking about what we're going to do when we walk away with $300 million clear in cash. Which is about what you would have if you took the lump sum and after you paid all the taxes. Mike's got a story about a winner of the lottery. Hey, Mike, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I was telling your producer, I was living in Florida years ago, and I was down there right when the Florida lottery first came out. And I think the first year down there it was just scratch cards only, if I remember correctly. And then they started with the regular games like the lotto and that type of thing. So they have a regular Florida State Lotto like we have up here in Illinois.
Okay.
And they started with these jackpots. And then the third jackpot person that finally hit this thing, it was like they had one jackpot, somebody won, and the second one, and the third one. So then this guy hits it somewhere in the Orlando area for like $55 million. He goes ahead, he disconnects all the phones in his house, puts up like a 24-foot high or, 2-foot high fence all the way around his house, and then he hires like two off-duty Orange County sheriff guys to stand in his yard. And then he went out, cashed his ticket, came back, and that was it. The media couldn't get to him, his neighbors couldn't get to him, his relatives couldn't get to him, nobody could touch this guy.
Wow. And how long was he happy? Do you know what happened after that?
I don't know. That was the story. I mean, we're going back quite a number of years, but I'm just telling you that's the way it went down.
You hate to think that in this moment of happiness, here's what we're doing. We're bunkering down like there's a nuclear war happening. Because it should be the happiest moment of your life. Think of all the good I can do. Think of all the people I can help. Nope. Nobody knows who I am or where I am. You can't get to me now. That's a sad way to think about you're living your life after that.
Well, I mean, they knew who he was and everything, but I guess he didn't want to be bothered, so that's how he handled it.
Guess he had thought about it. Mike, will you be buying a ticket for the lottery tonight?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good. A lot or just like one?
Nah, probably about $20 worth.
$20 worth? I think that's okay. Good for you. Good for you. Well, Mike, good luck. I'll tell you what. If you hit it big, you got to send us like a pizza next week or something, okay?
And disconnect my phones.
Send us a pizza, then disconnect your phones. All right, Mike, thanks so much. Good luck to you tonight, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, have a great day.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week.
Which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. Any more than you, man. Matt Bubala, Radio 720 WGN. I'll tell you what, I'd buy some sweet seats or a sweet to Guns N' Roses.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying. The way they've always done before.
This is the Guns N' Roses protest anthem, I guess. I guess this is their one... one foray into political discussion there. Guns N' Roses reuniting for Coachella. We'll see if there's a stadium tour after that. I've seen at least 3 or 4 Guns N' Roses show in my day. I was much younger back then, but I will be back if they're back. Last time Colleen and I went and saw Guns N' Roses, and yes, I've gotten my wife Colleen to go see Guns N' Roses. It was at the Allstate Arena. This is like 6 or 7, maybe 10 years ago now. I'm not sure. They broke up a long time ago. But Axl Rose retained all the rights to the names of the band, and he's kept Guns N' Roses going, albeit sporadically, with all sorts of different players, including, Roger, you would have loved this. The last time we saw them, he had a guitarist called Buckethead. So when...
Did he wear a bucket on his head?
He wore a KFC bucket on
his
head.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was awesome. And he's a really, really good guitarist. But wow. I don't know what his deal was. He was in disguise because I think he had a mask on, too. I don't think you saw his face, but he wore...
Oh, my.
He wore a KFC bucket on his head.
That is so... I wonder why he would be masked.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to be seen with Axl Rose. I don't know. Axel, I missed the, so my friend Brian O'Connell and I were coming back from St. Mary's College in Minnesota, I think for spring break. We had tickets to see Guns N' Roses that night at, I believe, what was then called the Rosemont Horizon before it became the Allstate Arena.
Right.
And as we're driving back, we hear on the radio that the show has been canceled.
What?
Because earlier in that year, this is like 92, 93, 94, somewhere in there. Earlier in that year, Guns N' Roses had played a show in St. Louis, where Axl Rose caused a riot and then fled town before he could be arrested.
Mm.
And the band caught wind that somebody was in town to pick him up.
Gotcha.
So they canceled the show and got out of town. So our show got canceled that night.
Oh, jeez.
They're notorious for starting, and they started a, Dan, what was it, in Montreal, I want to say, Guns N' Roses started a riot as well. Axl was... I hope he's grown up. The show time would be set for like 9 o'clock, right? Band comes on at 8. Guns N' Roses is on at 9. They would come on like literally at 11:30. So people would be, because Axl Rose is some goofy idiot. I love the guy, but he's a goofy idiot.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He didn't want to come on until he was ready, or God knows what's going on with somebody like that. So they'd come on. So what you've got is a stadium full of people there to listen to hard rock music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a Neil Diamond show where Neil's showing up late and everybody's sitting quietly and chatting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Guns N' Roses show where you're giving people an extra 2 hours to just stand there and drink and do God knows what else they snuck into the arena, right? That tends to go badly, especially when they start getting really angry that they're still show. So up in Montreal there was a riot, in St. Louis there was a riot. Started causing a lot of problems. I think that's why the band ended up breaking up, because people couldn't deal with them anymore.
Yeah,
I think there was one show, I think it might have been L.A., and Metallica opened for them, and there was some pyrotechnic thing where James Hetfield accidentally set himself on fire, and then Axl had the audacity to, like, not come on
and take over.
And then people rioted.
They did a Monsters of Rock tour. It was Metallica and Guns N' Roses, right? I think that the riot in Montreal was at one of those shows where they were, the two of them were playing together. Yeah, they must have some interesting stories about those guys. So supposedly the original band is getting back together, at least parts of the original band, Slash and Axl. The two most famous pieces have not been together in a very long time. So we're looking forward to that. You can tell Roger is as well. He's very excited to see some Guns N' Roses.
I'm not into Guns N' Roses. Sorry.
Well, if I win the lottery, Raj, you're coming to a GNR show with me in the next year, okay? All right, so a couple of texts about the lottery. By the way, so I looked it up during the news.
Oh.
And you can gift tax-free to a child. So you and your wife could gift to a child tax-free $28,000, because it's $14,000 is the limit.
Okay.
So you and your wife could do it together, so you could give somebody a gift of $28,000 every year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, every year?
Yeah, that's the annual gift max to a person. So I was figuring this out. So I'm assuming in my inner circle, 30 people. That's I didn't count them all out.
You claim them all as children?
No, because you could gift this to anybody.
Oh. They don't have to be a family member?
I don't believe so.
Ooh.
I believe it's just a financial gift that you can, before a gift tax comes in,
right.
I don't think it has to be a child. In general, no one has to pay taxes on annual gifts of less than $14,000. This story is about, you know, parents giving gifts, but I believe that applies to anybody you give a cash gift or a car or whatever to.
Right.
If the value exceeds $14,000, you, as the gift giver, would have to pay tax.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, you already got $300 million anyway, so what the heck?
But I'm not wasting more on taxes, because I just gave them a couple hundred million in taxes.
Yeah?
They're not getting a penny more.
You don't want to do your part for society?
I just did.
And you will continue to give.
Matt, well, Listen, Roger.
You're going to give until
I'm
going
to give what I am legally required to give, but I'm going to try not to give a penny more if I don't have to, right?
Right.
Because I'd rather give it to other people or give it to friends and family or invest it or whatever.
Like Roger.
Should I set up a state budget for us? Do you want me to do that?
Buy the state.
No,
you'd come up short.
I'm sure we could buy the state with $300
million. You could negotiate.
But you'd have to inherit like $80 billion in debt. Exactly.
No, forget it. Bad investment.
That wouldn't go well.
No.
So if $28,000 a year is the max Colleen and I can give to anyone,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming around 30 people, because let's go my sister and her husband and my brother and his wife and, you know, everybody like that and
sure.
kids and whatever. So if I'm going to give, let's say, 30 people
mm-hmm.
$28,000 a year, and we're going to do that for the next 20 years.
Okay.
That's only $16.8 million.
That's nothing.
That's not when you have $300 million. That really is nothing.
Yeah.
But think of how much that could change. So the couples we're doing it for, they're getting 56 grand. Think about just getting 56 grand every year for 20 years. It's not enough to make you go crazy. You probably aren't going to quit your job, although maybe you could if you wanted to live frugally. But if you keep working, then this is paying down debt, paying off the house,
mm-hmm.
a couple of nice vacations, savings for, you know, retirement, different things like that.
You and I are different. You're still in the prime of your life.
I still got four kids to send through college.
Right.
That's the big problem.
See, my wife and I are already retired.
Right.
You're
still working in the middle of the night, so
semi-retired. Because I want to.
Sure.
Because I love it so much. And we have bills to pay. But
exactly.
But, you know, and so $56,000 extra a year?
Oh,
that would help tremendously.
Imagine.
But I would still work here.
I
wouldn't
exactly.
quit. I think, love it too much.
I think that's the thing, because $56,000, you love it,
right.
sure. But it's also, that's not enough to just say, nah, let's chuck everything else. I mean, maybe it is, but it's not like enough to say, especially if you're still working, I'm quitting everything, that's it, I'll just live off $56,000.
What would be enough to chuck it? What would be enough?
Certainly the $300
million. It would depend on,
I think it depends
on your age.
It does, because if somebody's gifting you this money, what if we get in a fight and the next year he says, well, screw you, I'm not giving you that anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
Who knows what's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
And I think I would do what I would do, because I think this is what you have to do, is I would, for whatever people I'm setting this up for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
I would make it a trust, an irrevocable trust.
There you go.
Because I wouldn't want to think about, and I wouldn't want them thinking about, well, we better be nice to Matt. We better send Matt, you were friends beforehand, and here's my gift to you, and I don't care if we ever talk again. Of course, I want us to, but let's not, that would be the tough thing with those relationships is now
right.
how much of it is about, you know, it's great that you did this for us, but now are we obligated to whatever? We got to see you on New Year's Eve. We got to send you a Christmas card. We gotta, every time we do anything for the kids with this money, we got to, oh, that's so nice. Bobby got mm-hmm. braces. Look at how great they look. No, you don't have to do any of that. It's irrevocable. I love you to death. That's why I gave it to you. And I hope we stay close. But for God's sakes, don't worry about, you know, try not to change the relationships. I don't know if that's
right.
possible, but that would be the goal.
Money
right?
changes everything. You
absolutely
know that.
It does. But
you know that.
But let's do the best we can to change it for the better, right?
Okay.
So that's only $16.8 million.
Then
I always thought. Then I always thought there would be like a second circle that, you know, we're friends in college, we're work friends, we're people that we see but don't always see, but I like them. And so
that's your second circle?
Well, what should my second circle be? I've already done immediate family. What's
the
second circle?
There's a secondary family. And friends, the people that you were closer to more than just, oh, we used to be classmates in college. That would be a third circle.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a second circle of not necessarily immediate family members, but, you know, cousins that you used to hang out with as kids. They've moved on. They have their own families now. Hey, I wanted to share my wealth with my family. Here's a $1,000 gift card.
I'm gonna have to really look into this now, because that's a good point, Roger. Maybe I thought I covered them in my 30, but maybe that wouldn't be enough. I'll have to during the next news break, Roger. I'll think about that. I'm gonna start making a detailed list. Let's see how far I get. But in the second circle, then is it less than $28,000 a year? I think it is, right? Because there's
it didn't have to be family members. I think if you gift somebody.
Everybody gets the same amount?
No. Oh, no, 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 no. But the ones that don't get the full amount probably get real pissed at you.
Well, that's not fair.
Legally, you could give me $14,000 a year.
Oh, man.
Why aren't you? Why am I getting this $5,000 a year?
No, legally we can give 28 because it's Colleen and I.
Right, 28.
But I think if I go down a level, listen, my sister got $28,000,
right,
a year. You're not my sister. You're not my brother.
Yeah, but
you're not my mom.
Better than you do them.
Well, maybe I like you more than I do them, but I don't know you better. I lived with them for a long time.
It doesn't matter. But I'm even better than a sister or brother.
No.
You only see me once a week.
You better have this conversation after I make it irrevocable. Otherwise,
I'll hold you to it.
This is why you got to change your cell phone number.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So the first group, I'm going 28K.
Okay.
28K. Next group.
Every year for
20 years.
Oh, 20 years.
20
okay.
years.
All right.
So invest wisely.
Okay.
And the second circle, I think I'm going 20K.
Ooh.
Okay. 20K
Ooh.
A year. That's not that bad. That's still good. If it's a couple, they're getting 40K. That's still, Roger, that's still pay down the bills, send kids to college money. You're not quitting your job, but it's changing your life
in a really nice little way. Half.
No. 28K to the first, 20K to the second.
No. You got it. Oh, man. You got to rethink this.
Wait. You want them to get more or less?
Less. Go half. These are people that aren't expecting anything from you.
You just said this is the cousins and the people
I grew
up with.
Have they ever gotten anything?
Because I don't have
before?
Anything. If I had something, maybe they would. I got nothing right now. What the hell am I going to give them? Baseball card?
Pair of socks.
I mean, they're people that we still sort of exchange gifts with at Christmas. So,
when
we get together with Colleen's side of the family and all these other cousins, we did a grab bag this year. And so some of the cousins got gifts. We buy gifts for some of these aunts and uncles, things like that.
Oh, I got it then. I got it. So you do it.
I'm not doing
a
grab bag.
You do a grab bag of, I only got a dollar. Hey, I got $10,000.
How great would that be if then in the grab bag each year at Christmas, whoever we gets 28 grand? Well, we didn't pull your name this year, but next year maybe we'll pull your name. You'll get 28 grand tax free. The other kid's got like a Hot Wheel. This kid's got just a shoebox with 28 grand in bills that I put because I'm not writing a check.
Right.
Kid is, just be quiet about this. Don't tell your parents. There's 28 grand. Just put it away. A lot of bubble gum.
Yeah, you see the kid's like 12 months. He's a year old.
Gene has some suggestions. Gene, you're on 720 WJ. Good morning.
Hi, Matt. You're very easy to listen to, and I love it
so
when
sweet.
I turn on the
Gene,
radio.
Gene, quit trying to butter me up because you want to be in the first circle. Gene thinks she's getting the 28K, Roger.
Gene, you're in.
You're in minimum second circle. I love it.
This whole conversation reminds me of when John used to kid you about being in your rubber room when there was a big...
No, we called it the happy room, Gene, not the rubber room. Maybe John was thinking that, but he called it the happy room.
Anyway, one of the things, I'm in my 70s, so this isn't so going to work because the 70s have been really rough for a lot of us.
Sure.
As far as health is concerned.
Yeah.
But like your age, you could simply like rent a resort for a week. And all these inner circle, outer circle, many times a lot of us have been transferred. So, there are people from Wisconsin and Indiana and Illinois and the East Coast could all get together. They could come for the week or come for a couple of days. That's up to them. And you could just pay for everything, even the flights if you wanted to. And then the other thing, if you don't come from a high school that is 1,000, in your class or something, another thing I thought of was just like a lot of us go for a 2-day reunion and just, rent a nice place and just pay for the whole thing, the lodging, the dinners, the lectures or the programming or whatever you do. That would be really fun. But you would really get into trouble if you tried to dole out money beyond your first circle of people. I mean, even beyond family is really tricky because people who know what that other person received might really be jealous. And, it could be really tough.
Mm.
No wonder people go and hide.
I think you're right. I think, Gene, you're right. It could get really ugly, but that's why I say I'm going to set it up as an irrevocable and just try to have that conversation as, hey, this is a gift. This doesn't change us at all. I was very fortunate.
Yeah.
I didn't earn all this. I got blind lucky.
Right.
So I'm going to share this with people. And it would be people I've known, my whole life and stuff like that. It's not, Joe down the street who just said hi to me today. Hey, buddy, here you go.
Yeah.
So I tried. And Gene. So you're in the second circle, Gene.
Oh, well, thank you. And, there are some causes. I mean, God knows, beyond even the charities, like Channel 11, the Channel 20, the PBS station.
Yeah.
I mean, their programming is so great for kids and adults. And, you know, there's a lot of things a person could do that would be helpful to
You're
a lot of
absolutely right. And I will put you on the task force because Colleen will have to form the charitable arm of Black Dog where this money's going. And then we will figure out all of those. So, Gene, stay well. And we'll talk next week when I got this money.
We'll stay in touch.
All right, Gene. Have a great morning. Thanks so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Matt Bubala on 720 WGN. Mark, you're first after the news, which is next on 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show, Radio 720 WGN. It's a very delusional Matt Bubala Show this morning. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here in the Chicago Tribune Tower. Would stay the Chicago Tribune Tower under my ownership after I win my $300 million. I hate when we buy buildings and then change their name, so it would stay the Tribune Tower.
Couldn't be the Tribune Bubala Tower?
Nope.
All right.
I like the classicness of it. Okay. It would stay the Tribune Tower.
Sure.
We would move back over to our building, though, that they took away from us.
Which one?
The WGN radio building, which is part of this building, is now a candy store.
That's right. Oh.
That building was built for this radio station.
It was a huge stage, a huge auditorium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of windows, they had big WGN carved into the concrete. We'd bring that all back.
Bring back live performances?
Somewhat,
on the stage?
Yeah. We do some shows. We'd mix it up because, but, you know, maybe some TV production.
It would be a concert venue,
like
too. When we didn't have broadcast,
Absolutely, could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses.
They're not going to play that little room.
Private Matt Bubala concert.
Stop it. Mark, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Morning. I want to be a traveling donor. And what I mean is I would talk with a lot of friends about organizations that could use a little money. And then I would go and personally visit those organizations, but I wouldn't let on that I had a lot of wealth to throw around. I would look and act like an ordinary Joe, and I would even try to get involved in their work a little, make it an extended visit. But the whole idea would be to find out, you know, how they treat me if I don't let on that I have a lot of wealth, and decide on the basis of that experience who I want to donate to. Now, having said that, there are organizations that I already think are worthy that I would want to donate substantially to, like, for instance, the Music for Life Alliance that Muriel Anderson founded. She gives musical instruments to kids.
Cool.
And the Les Paul Foundation does that, too.
Sure.
And there are a couple prison ministries I'd like to donate to, and there's a thing called LARSH, which provides real group homes for developmentally disabled adults. In other words, they're not like institutions. They're like real homes.
So yeah.
I could go on, but
You could spend your life, Mark, figuring out, you know,
exactly,
which organizations are worth. And it's sort of like you do an undercover boss thing where you go in at first as just a guy wanting to help out and see what everything's about.
Yeah, exactly.
And see how they're spending the money and what they're doing.
And the lottery winnings would pay my travel expenses. Now, the only flaw in the plan was that somebody might eventually catch on to what I was doing, especially since I wouldn't have to be asking for money to help me travel around. So, you know, there's a potential flaw in the plan, but I would have a blast doing that because I get to travel and meet people and see places and give away a lot of money at the same time.
Well, did you buy a ticket? Are you going to buy a ticket?
I haven't done that yet.
Are you going to, or is this just I get in my happy room and think about this?
You know, it depends on whether it's on the way with the errands I have to do today.
Well,
who knows? It might roll over again.
God, could you imagine it'd be over $1 billion? That would be crazy. Well, buy one ticket, Mark. Just get out and spend the dollar or two and get one, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, have a great day, buddy. Thank you so much for calling. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. All right, so Jay, my favorite Jay, keeps texting me, asking me about Mount Carmel. I went to high school at Mount Carmel. Yes, there would be. So, Roger, I'm up to first circle, second circle. I haven't gotten into third circle yet.
Okay.
But then there would also be a fourth that's, you know, straight donation. So Lutheran General Hospital, where we had Jack and the Triplets, St. Mary's University, Mount Carmel, different places like that. Yes, I would have to. I'll have to figure all that out.
Sure. I was thinking of the Baddish Family Broadcast Center at Evanston Township.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
262 says, where angels go, trouble follows. That scares me. 312 says, Matt, this money is making you so crazy you're going to go insane and end up like Matt Foley living in a van down by the river.
In a van down by the river!
But I'd have one kick-ass van. Think about that van.
And he's
everybody
going to the river.
Want to come to that van. Dude, that would be one fun van.
That would be.
Oh, God. I
party know. At Matt's place.
224 texted, they just won $100 on a scratch-off.
Ooh.
While they're listening to us.
Where's breakfast?
What are you eating up there? What are you doing? What is that?
What, me?
You. Yes. Me? What are you unwrapping?
I've got a sandwich.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt dinner time.
No, you're not.
That's loud aluminum foil you got going there, sir.
I was trying to be quiet.
All right. So
never mind.
219 texted. All right. Here's what 219. It's all funny. Right. The way our texts come, when you write something long, it gets all broken up. But it doesn't like stay top to bottom. You have to go backwards and read up. So let me try to do this. Let me try to do this the best I can.
Okay.
219 texted, too much money, too much global publicity, too much danger, especially with technology allowing anyone not to just to see where you live, but have detailed instructions on how to get there.
Uh-oh.
You wouldn't be able to go anywhere without you and your family being followed, especially with drones that are now so accessible. Mm. Your life and your family's life would always be in danger, and people would always be after you for money. I never played the lottery when it got to be over $50 million, and I would only buy one ticket. If I'm meant to win it, I only need to buy one ticket. If I'm not meant to win it, it wouldn't matter if I bought more than 1,000 tickets.
Oh.
No way I'm buying a ticket for this lottery. Hmm.
Well, then you'd have to go underground. That way,
see,
drones,
I'm not doing that.
No,
I'm not
drones.
Going underground. Drones
you got
to. Can. No, I refuse. I refuse to be changed by this, Roger.
You will be changed.
You will be changed,
but
I'm not going to. I'm not going
to.
Listen, Warren Buffett isn't living underground. Bill Gates isn't living underground. It's all in the
yeah, but
how
their
you
armies
handle it.
Are protecting them.
There's no army protecting Bill Gates.
You know what?
Who?
Go ahead. Look up Bill's number and call him now. Go ahead. Look up Bill's number.
So because his number's unlisted?
Yeah.
Well.
And you go to where they show the pictures of where that home is along the lake. Right, that he built that trillion-dollar home, right? You go up in that area, and it's got an invisibility cloak. You'll never find the place. The security guards walking around like they're hunters.
Though. I'm sure there's security guards. I'm sure there's security.
Yeah, but you don't know that
there's
security
cloak.
Guards.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't. They're walking around says, ha, how you doing? Have
you
a good day.
You make it known that there's security guards so people know not to mess with them.
And they're sweeping you with their electronic
Oprah
gadgets.
Oprah doesn't have an army.
No, she just moved to L.A.
I think we would
and sold her place.
You would have to move. Too many people could so easily know where I live. And it's
you would have to.
You would have to move to kind of a gated thing,
now,
I would think.
Oh, now, wait a minute. With all that money, all that money, would you stay in Chicago? Even though I know you're not proper in Chicago.
I would totally stay as a Chicagoan, which,
okay,
which I think
all
I am.
Right.
But. Roger. We would.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to Kelly and I have been lucky enough to go to Mexico the last few years.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And this resort we've gone to a few times, there's empty space right next to it, right on the ocean.
Ooh.
And I would so buy that up. And I'd make like a nice little house that could, it's sort of like a sort of hotelish house in that it has separate bedrooms. So when people come stay, they
sure.
can.
Guest
you know,
homes, yeah. guest areas. Sure.
Yeah. So,
sure.
So I would totally do that. And I would reach a agreement with United Airlines that I'd buy a plane, but they would staff it with pilots or whatever when I'm running. And I'd have to pay them a certain amount a year, but got $300 million, so it'd be fine.
Is there a decent airport down there?
Cancun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's flying to Cancun.
But see, then I would buy the resort next to me so I wouldn't have a bunch of gawkers, you know, like trying to come over onto my property.
I'd keep it separated. There'd be gates and stuff like that. I mean, I wouldn't just
look at you putting up a wall. Okay.
I trump it up, baby. Three 312 says, how about buying the Bears and making winners out of them?
Oh, please. You want to make a good investment.
Yeah. Listen. Well, I'll tell you what, Roger.
Sorry.
You buy an NFL team 20 years ago and tell me how much it's worth now.
Yeah.
That's an investment.
Yeah.
They
print, but that was 20 years
they
ago.
They print money.
Yeah. Now I'd be embarrassed to buy the Bears.
Oh, stop it. They had an up season this year.
Up nothing.
No,
I'll give you
I disagree.
Up
I disagree. I disagree.
I'm sorry. I just.
But I wouldn't have that much interest in owning the Bears. Well, I'd love to own the Cubs.
Yeah.
I would love to own the Cubs.
Yeah.
I'd love to own the Hawks. but I don't think anybody's selling it.
I would not
buy the White Sox. I would not buy the Bulls.
$300 million wouldn't.
That's
buy
true.
It
wouldn't even get you close. That's yeah. True. I'd have to invest it very well for a long time.
Yeah.
Now somebody told a story a while ago here. Let me see if I can scroll down and find it. Okay. So Robert texted that he knew of a story of a law firm that bought every combo for the lottery about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And says, unfortunately, there were four winners, so they lost money. The law firm was in New York and paid people that had hundreds of locations to get them all. Now, I read something about that in one of the stories about the lottery. This lottery. Now, that might have been like a state lottery where it was only four or five numbers.
Right.
But with this lottery, if you bought every combination, I think they said it would cost you $595 million, something like that.
Not worth it.
So after taxes, you'd lose the money. You wouldn't make your money back.
Yeah, I got to
tell. And then
you.
God help you if somebody else wins too. You really lost money on it.
We were talking about this. It brings back some memories. I worked for, Gloria Jean's Gourmet Coffees many years ago. I was their advertising public relations director. But the co-owner, Gloria's husband at the time, one time the lottery, Illinois State Lottery, this is back, 91, the Illinois State Lottery got up real big.
Yeah.
And he took a boatload of money, cash, and had some of the workers go around to a bunch of the stores, the outlets, and just start buying Quick Picks like crazy.
How much do you think he spent on it?
It was more than I could even dream of.
Like over $1,000?
Easily.
Oh, my God.
Easily. And didn't win a damn thing.
I bet he felt like a fool after that.
He did, and that's when he left town and just drove. Whenever he'd get angry, he would hop in his, a little sports car.
And just take off?
And just take off, driving around the country. Just driving, blowing off steam. He'd end up visiting, the stores always were in malls.
Yeah.
Major malls around the country. So he'd end up, writing it off as a business thing because he would visit malls
visit stores.
He wanted to go into and stuff,
That's pretty interesting.
But, he did do that one year. And I remember it was the day of the drawing. And he was like, here, take this, go get this and get that. And you go here. Here's a stack. You go do this. I'll go over here. I'll buy. I'm like, what are you, nuts? That's funny. Win a thing.
224 says, if I win, I'll have to podcast your show because I won't be going to work this early. Good for you, 224. 773, now I don't know what I said earlier, but 773 wrote, good to know you're waiting to win the lotto before being a good person.
No.
I'm trying. I feel bad.
You were taking care of.
I'm a good person. I hope I'm a good person now. I try to be.
You're a good person. Maybe he was. He or she was referring to your inner circle being taken care of before charities or friends or things like that.
I don't know. I must have said something that I didn't mean exactly. But no, I hope I'm a good person. I try to
you
be.
Are.
I'm going to be a better person to people when I have this gift that I can give them. So, Roger, during your last newscast, first circle is at 20 people.
Okay.
That's where I got to.
Good.
Second circle is over 40 people right now.
Whoa.
And I could still add more.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out where does the second circle become the third circle.
Exactly. What's your line?
I don't know, because I've got close friends who are really close, closer than cousins. I have cousins.
Okay.
And all the kids of those cousins and aunts and uncles that are close but not that close.
Okay.
And then I'm getting into good friends from college who are still real good friends. And then where do I get to friends who don't see as much anymore? I don't know where.
Here's your criteria. It's like throwing things out. If you haven't used it in the last 12 months, throw it out.
So if you haven't spoken to them or been a part of their life.
Yeah. As good of friends as they were up to a point.
12-month rule.
Yeah.
Roger, how many phone calls am I going to get tomorrow? Hey, just want to check in, see how you're doing. Don't forget that I called.
Did I make it by the deadline?
Just playing the odds here. Just being safe. Maybe I should start calling people tomorrow.
Maybe you thinking, should, Mr. Friends, not a good guy.
Which friends maybe would think about me and I haven't talked to in a while? I'm just going to get on Facebook. Hey, I want you all to know I love you so much and I was thinking of you specifically today.
Oh, that's so cold.
Remember that when you look at those numbers tonight.
That's so cold. I'll do it on Facebook. Such a personal touch.
Oh, come on, dude. I can't call all these people. I don't have time for that.
It would cost you $500 million.
Could. All right, so 12-month rule. I'll put the 12-month rule in effect.
Does that sound logical?
I think that does sound logical. If you have not actually been involved with a person in the last 12 months, they're at best, third circle.
And again, in touch could be a text, could be a Facebook message, hey, fill in your name here. Happy birthday. That might work.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree.
Okay. And so that would be the deadline or the cutoff point for the second circle.
Yeah. I got a 12-month rule there.
Okay. So then the third circle, people 12 months and beyond.
That's a little wider of a net. So that's people. Yeah. That gets into your. I'm going down to 10K. Then I'm cutting it in half. So 28K first circle,
right?
20K second circle, right. 10K third circle.
Sounds...
Still per person. So if it's a couple, that's
per
20
person,
grand a year.
Per year
for the
20
next
years.
20 years.
Right.
So $200,000.
That's
spread out over time. You don't have to pay taxes on it. That's a good deal.
It's not bad.
Especially when it's somebody I barely talked to in the last 10 years.
Now, here's what I'm going to ask you, because I know you don't like wasting your money.
Okay.
Who the heck's going to take care of this every year for you?
Well, I would assume, Roger, that my accountant, who now loves me more than anybody in the world,
of course,
could set all of these up because I want irrevocable trust, because I don't want to deal with, oh, God, I hate that person now. Cut
right,
them off.
Right, just right.
Whatever happens, happens.
Right.
So I've got to set up now about 60, and I think we're going to get to about 100 irrevocable trusts, and I hope to pay a one-time fee, which will cost me another chunk of change, but not that bad. And then just...
They have to buy the other side of the island, though.
Clear and done with it.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing.
Yes. Oh,
this is why I'm with
this
you.
This is getting complicated. Maybe
now,
it's
wait
not
a minute.
Worthwhile.
Wait a
Maybe
minute.
Colleen was right all along.
What if somebody in the second tier passes away? Who do you replace them with from the third tier? And will this be causing a lot of...
People don't move up and down in the tiers.
Are you
Once
sure?
Once it's set, it's set. Now, some people you might become closer friends with down the line.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you help them out in other ways. Who knows?
Okay.
But
so there's no way to move up?
No. No. Because that's the whole point of the irrevocable trust. I don't want to start playing, you know, odds and favorites. I mean, some of the people in the first circle, I don't love that much, but I'm still giving them money because they're blood, right? They're family. They were there.
Blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So I'm hooking them up.
Gotcha.
And that's the whole point of it. Whether I like you, don't like you. I mean, I barely talk to my dad anymore. I mean, barely talk to my dad in the last 10 years. He's on the list. He's still
he's
still in the first circle.
He's
he was
dad.
My dad. Sure. Yeah. So he's in.
Okay.
And, you know, so I got to think about third circle. There's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
I hope I actually win or else I wasted a lot of time here. But at least I'll save this sheet.
What
I'm
was
Matt's
show
sheet.
About last night?
Well, the show was just... fabulous, but Matt was mostly doing financial planning. 574 says, when I win, I will pay all of my coworkers to quit on the same day.
Wow.
How much you going to pay them? Yeah.
Because
if you want me to quit on your timetable, you better be hooking me up with more than just here's $500.
Exactly.
I wonder how many coworkers he has. If he has four, that's easy enough to pull off.
Yeah,
if
but
he has 100 at a factory.
But how old are they? I mean, come on. We've been discussing this. This is a public service you've been providing
for the listeners. Well, let's say 574.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he's at a factory and there's 100 of them. And he just hates his boss. So he's like, you know what? This is what I want.
Right.
I want you all to quit on the same day. So he's got 100 coworkers. What would he have to give each of them for them to say, fine, I quit? Now, maybe they're going to still have to find a new job, but that's a hassle and not always easy. So if there's 100 people that have to go find work, I'm guessing you got to throw them $1 million. What would it cost to get you to quit
like
a full-time job? I want to know there's some security for at least the next couple of years till I find new work. And then I want to know that I've done something to help my family. So I'm thinking a minimum $500,000 he's going to have to throw people. And then there's tax implications. So I think $500,000 minimum. So if there's 100 workers, he's got to go spend $50 million of his $300 million. That's
That'd
an
be
expensive,
even more than that.
That's
even
an expensive
that.
Prank to pull.
If you're gonna want me to quit my job with you, you're gonna have to take care of me for the rest of my life.
For a full job?
No, if you want me, I'm not going to, you want me to leave a job, a good job, I'm working, I'm making, you know, an income from me and my family.
Sure, but.
I've got insurance, et cetera, et cetera. Now you want me to leave, and now here's $100,000, $200,000, $500,000.
Roger.
But now I got to go look for another job?
You do, but no, Roger.
I don't want to have to go through that.
I know, but if I said here's $500,000, I think you'd say, yeah, I could find another job.
No. Job security is a very precious thing nowadays.
$500,000 is a minimum of 5 years of job security.
But what about and after you, 5 years?
Well, yeah.
Now you're 5 years older. And
you're
now
not
you're
finding
too old
a
to
job.
Work.
He didn't say you can't work for 5 years. He said you have to quit this job. You can't find
but
another job in 5 years.
I still
got
to get in line and look for jobs
you're
elsewhere.
Gonna you're so... Ugh, I don't want to look for work that you're going
to... No, just it's not that I don't want to.
Dude,
it's
just keep your $500,000. I don't want to go through that hassle.
I would do that.
Oh, get out of here.
I would.
Let's assume you're making $50,000 a year, whatever this imaginary full-time job is, okay? That's 10 years worth of your salary.
Yeah, so?
You'd say, no, just keep it. I'll just keep working my $50,000 a year job.
I think my job security is a lot more important to me than...
And describe for me this job security. Where are you working?
Well, it depends where the place is.
Any place. Where is there that kind of job security that you... I mean, think about it. 20 years ago, fine, Roger, I would agree.
I understand.
Today...
I understand what you're saying.
That job might not exist in 2 years. I don't care what job you're working.
True.
So I don't know about job security.
But for some reason, it just means more to me than just taking money, leaving, and then still having to find work when I'm older.
You don't have to wait for five years. No, why are you waiting for 5 years? What's wrong with you? Take the money and then just go work somewhere else immediately if you can find a job. You don't have to. I mean, he's not saying.
I don't want to have to
look
for another job. Why'd you leave the other job? Well, a guy paid me to quit.
Oh, I'm going to fire you because you're too lazy to find another job when somebody just offered you $500,000 to go look for another job.
You wouldn't fire me.
Yes,
you
I would.
Reward
Roger,
me
I'm buying this place, and if you don't quit when somebody offers you that,
I'm firing you. No, you said you're buying the place. This guy's not buying the place.
He just wants
everyone to
quit
because he hates the boss.
Now I'm not sponsoring your newscast because now I'm upset with you. This is why it has to be irrevocable, Roger, because this is what would happen.
You're not sponsoring my newscast?
No, because
I'm upset that basically
what happened is the guy said, Roger, here's $500,000 to go find another job. He said, I like this job. I'm not going to go find another one.
I do like this job.
But for $500,000!
I'd stay.
All right, we need to take a quick break. Lori, I'm so sorry you held on forever. Lori would set up
an animal sanctuary.
Lori would set up an Lori, I don't want to make you keep waiting because we have an interview we have to do after the news. But Lori would set up an animal sanctuary, and I think that is a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing. And I tell you, I guarantee you some of my money would have to go to Steve Dale to do good for animals too. All right, news is next on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala Show here on Radio 720 WGN. So we're in an El Nino, but what else is going on? There are mudslides and all sorts of craziness going on in California. Joining us on the phone right now is a travel writer who wrote a great piece for Yahoo Travel about some of the weird weather patterns we have emerging, including some with just wonderful names. Bill Fink joins us on the phone. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. But I'm not worried, like some people might be, about the blob. Or son of blob. I never knew, unless the Weather Channel got a hold of this and they're the ones making the names now, I'm surprised that we're hearing about weather patterns called blob and son of blob. What in the world are those?
Yeah, there's always something to worry about here in California. What the blob is and has been for the past year or so is a huge 300-mile blob of water, for lack of a better term, out in the Pacific Ocean that's about 3 to 5 degrees above normal. And it's been causing some additional havoc with weather, with wildlife, with what we can eat and do out on the West Coast.
So when you say a weather pattern, you know, here in the Midwest or in Chicago here, so weather's going to come by tomorrow and be gone the next day. This is stretching pretty much, it looks like, from Russia all the way to the U.S. Is it something that's going to pass through quickly, or is this like a winter weather pattern that's holding?
Well, it's been around since, I think, the end of 2014.
Oh, wow.
And it's just now starting to lessen a little bit with the big jet streams associated with El Nino. But because it's been around so long, it has it's changed the fish in the water. It's created some toxic planktons that are causing mass wildlife die-outs, and it has influenced rains and temperatures across the West Coast for months on end.
So I guess I just haven't paid that much attention to the drought that we're having out west for a while. You've had mudslides. That doesn't always mean, oh, the drought is over. What is the what's the latest on what's going on? Is this weather pattern? I know there was some talk. I talked to a weather guy about half a year ago that maybe El Nino was going to help. Maybe it wouldn't be nearly enough. Is the rain just causing problems? Because now it hasn't been rained forever. Now it's coming down hard and fast. Or is this a steady enough stream of rain that maybe we're going to get an easing of the weather, the drought concerns out there?
I think it's definitely helping, but from what I've heard from the Weather Service, we need about 4 consecutive years of El Nino multiplied by a few blobs to refill all the reservoirs in California.
Wow.
And of course, the sudden rains cause their share of landslides and flooding, so it's too dry one month, too wet the next month.
Yeah, I would imagine that's part of the problem. I saw on the Weather Channel just yesterday morning some video of a guy who got caught somewhere in California and a mudslide started happening. He threw it in reverse, and the mudslide was like chasing him as he went backwards on the freeway. Are you guys seeing a lot of different instances where the rain's coming down hard, and because everything's so dry, it's causing very quickly problems?
Yeah, definitely. Just because of the dryness of the soil for extended period of time makes it more susceptible for landslides. And I think people have gotten into the practice of just assuming it's going to stay dry, so no one's really prepared for this deluge of rain.
Yeah. All right, so the Son of Blob, or the Blob, we'll get to Son of Blob, but let's stay on Blob for a moment. So the Blob is like a weather pattern that's creating 3 to 5 degree warmer temperatures in the ocean. Basically, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and that is causing, you said all these terrible things, and you're thinking it's 3 to 5 degrees, people. What in the world could this be doing? So, but I'm guessing that what happens is warmer water is confusing wildlife in the sea, so they're moving different places or not moving as they normally would, different things like that. Is that like a cascading effect that's affecting all these different things?
Yeah, definitely. I think because it is a blob that hasn't really moved anywhere, being blobbish. The warm weathers have created this type of sort of toxic algae and poisonous plankton that when it gets eaten by fish is either killing off the fish or actually getting into the nervous system of marine mammals like seals and sea lions, causing them to go kind of crazy in some situations. We've had in San Francisco these lost sea lion pups walking through city streets kind of looking for fish or their way back to the ocean.
Now that's,
and it's really been an ongoing problem.
I read that in your story. They're actually not just coming out of the ocean getting beached. They're getting themselves all the way onto streets and like working their way into San Francisco in desperate search for food. That's got to be more than just I'm this hungry. It's got to be that they're sort of delusional or having mental issues because of this, right?
Right. Something in the toxic nature of the algae is getting into their brains and messing with their, you know, internal navigation system.
So they're high. You're saying they're high. The sea lions are high.
They're a little loopy, maybe, is the best way to associate it. They have been mind taken over by the blob.
No kidding. Okay, so the blob is up there. And how long does the blob usually last? You said for California and the western area of the U.S. to get over its drought, they would need 4 El Ninos and a few blobs, which is amazing to think about. It was that bad. So this blob has been going on, you said, since late 2014. When does it move on, or how does it start in the first place? Is it just a change of weather pattern that just happens?
Well, no one really knows for sure. That's the funny thing. There's scientists with competing theories of why it happened, whether it's this thing called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which is sort of a regular increase of ocean temperatures maybe caused by sunspots, or whether it's the ridiculously resilient ridge, another weather coin term about a lingering high weather system that kind of was parked over the Pacific for about 6 months. So because they don't know where it came from, they don't really know when it's going to go away. It's almost like some supervillain floating over the Pacific Ocean.
No kidding. Now, it's funny because at least it is bringing rain to the West Coast. Or is it like, yeah, no, we'd rather take the drought than the way this is working? I mean, is there some like, well, it's helping a little, the El Nino and the Blob are at least bringing some water to us?
Oh, it's kind of good news, bad news. The Blob is helping influence some warmer weather and rain patterns, but due to the toxic nature of some of the ocean, it's caused a cancellation of crab season out in California and the Pacific Northwest, because crabs and other shellfish also ingest these poisons, and that can be transferred over to people as well. So they may be pulling out tourists from under parked cars who got lost from this toxic algae. So that's not a good effect, and they're kind of waiting and seeing on a month-by-month basis when we can start eating crabs out here again.
No kidding. It's fascinating. Hold on 1 second. We're speaking with Bill Fink. He's a travel writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Fink Travels. The story that I'm reading from is in Yahoo Travel. And you can also see Bill's website, BillFinkTravels.com. When we return, not only is there the Blob, there's Son of Blob. And even worse, there's Godzilla. There's three different things going on in the Pacific Ocean right now that are of concern. We'll ask Bill a little more about those, as well as the other places he's seen and traveled over the years for his travel writings. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Bill Fink. He's a travel writer here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala here with you. Bill was writing in Yahoo Travel earlier today about the Blob and Son of Blob and Godzilla. Is this the perfect storm of problems for the Pacific Ocean?
Well, it's kind of has its benefits and problems as well. The Godzilla nickname was given to this latest El Nino just because it has particularly high ocean temperatures associated with it that were also influenced by Blob and Son of Blob. So while it sounds like a monster movie, some of this is bringing well-needed rain out to the drought-stricken areas of the West Coast.
If you go see the Yahoo Travel story that Bill wrote, you see satellite images and infrared images or whatever they are of El Nino and the Blobs. And it is pretty fascinating to look at how they line up in these warm weather patterns in the ocean and how they're affecting things. Have we, historically, do we often see Blobs and Son of Blobs and El Ninos all at the same time? Or is this something that, you know, are scientists tying this into global warming or anything like that?
I think El Ninos have been pretty consistent through history. They kind of range from stronger or weaker El Nino years. And this year we just happen to be getting a stronger El Nino, which may or may not be influenced by global warming. I don't think they have enough data to prove it one way or another. The Blob phenomenon seems to be something that no one's really seen before. So there is some thought that global warming and crazy weather patterns may be influencing that creation.
Now, El Ninos, we know how long those type of patterns last, right? Is it generally for a season, or can it be a whole year or more?
Correct. It's usually a season, maybe lasting from October to March or so.
But the Blobs, we don't know when that'll go away, or is that also, that's going to go away too?
No one really knows about the Blob. The original blob around Alaska seems to be fading a little bit. It still has higher than normal ocean temperatures, but it's dissipated a bit over the past month. The son of blob, which may or may not be related to the original blob, is still lingering around Southern California with its full strength.
When I'm looking at the pictures from NOAA about of El Nino, is that right on the equator? Are El Nino's that pattern, is that always right along the equator?
Approximately the equator. It starts a bit in the South Pacific and tails up toward the coast of South America. The original nickname came from farmers in Chile because the weather pattern usually hit around Christmas. They named it after El Nino or the Christ Child.
Hmm. So if you're traveling to the West Coast at all, a couple of things. One is if you're planning on going skiing up in the mountainous regions, you might not be able to get a chance to do that this winter, right?
Well, the predictions are the Pacific Northwest is expected to be drier this season, so there should be getting less snow. And the Lake Tahoe area has been getting hammered by snow so far. The guess was that they definitely get more precipitation, but would it be cold enough to turn it to snow or not? The people I interviewed at the Weather Service said it would be a sort of storm-by-storm effect. So like most of us, even the experts have no idea what's going to happen with the weather. But so far, the resorts are happy to report some great snows in California and in southern Colorado.
But if you're going, say you want to go razor clam digging up in the Washington coast, or if you want to go see sea lions or whales or things like that, that might not work out so well this year, right?
No, definitely leave your mussels and crabs alone on the beach. Don't be eating any of those on the West Coast, I think, until further notice. And whale watching might not be the best season for it. I've had some naturalists report that so far it hasn't had a major impact, but there have been some pretty unfortunate die-offs of the animals washing ashore on beaches everywhere from Chile up to Alaska. Probably the biggest influence on this El Nino slash blob season is Southern California has really been getting a ton of rain. So if you're going to Disneyland, bring your poncho and an umbrella.
Talk to me a little bit about the travels, Bill, about the travels you've been doing. You were telling me off the air you've been a travel writer for about 10 years. What are the main places you go, try to see, and what are some fascinating things that you found over the years?
Well, I do a lot of adventure travel riding, try to go to some pretty far-flung spots around the world and have some adventures or misadventures. So I've recently gotten back from climbing Machu Picchu in Peru and went out to Everest Base Camp in Nepal. So try to find some good places to hit your backpack and kind of explore both some nice natural settings and local cultures.
Is there a place over the last 10 years that you visited that people don't know enough about that if somebody was looking for something a little off the beaten path, you would say, yeah, you really ought to try this. Nobody knows about this?
I think the Philippines is kind of a undervisited destination. Like it's a bad rap. Everyone who goes out to Southeast Asia will go to Thailand or Vietnam, Cambodia, or go to visit Bali and really leave the Philippines off their list. But I've been going there for 10, 15 years, and they have some of the best tropical beaches in Asia, friendly people who speak English, pretty cheap place to travel, and some really off-the-beaten-track type of small villages and unspoiled, undeveloped beaches that are great places to check out.
No, that's good to know, the Philippines. What about, what's a place where you'd say, God, I wouldn't even bother going there? Too many people go there. It was great at one time. It's not worth the effort anymore.
My feeling going to Croatia, it kind of felt like I was going to a lake resort in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
A lot of fat, pale German tourists in Winnebago's kind of packing along is drinking beer, eating sausage, and I, you know, for that I could go up to Oshkosh or someplace.
What are you looking forward to in the year ahead? Where are you headed this next year?
Looking to try something a little more exotic than normal, maybe going on a cheetah safari to Iran, of all places.
Wow. They have cheetah in Iran?
Yeah, that was the first question I asked. I had no idea, but apparently it's the last refuge of the Asiatic cheetah, and there's some wildlife organizations working with local groups to preserve the habitat for these cheetahs. So they're kind of doing an ad hoc exploration trip to start building tourism to the country.
Yeah, I would think that's a country that needs a little help when it comes to that. How do you feel about going to Iran? I mean, what's your sense on that? That's a tough one.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical at first, but I talked to a couple people who have been there who really said they got a great reception from locals there who said, you know, would come up to them and whisper, you know, America, yes, mullahs, no. I think the disagreement between countries is more to do with the politics and the, you know, a lot of the extreme religious leaders of Iran, but from what I've heard on the ground, the people really couldn't be more hospitable and friendly, as long as you leave politics out of the argument.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. There is an Iran travel warning. This was the last update, it looks like, August 5th from the Department of State. But U.S. citizens are allowed to travel to Iran. I guess you just got to be careful on where you are and what you're doing, right?
Correct, definitely. Follow all the local rules. If you're a woman, stay. You don't have to dress in a burqa, but stay modestly dressed.
Yeah.
And
don't bring attention to yourself.
Tough,
I guess
right,
as an American,
tough place to find a drink, but just something to keep in mind when traveling. But definitely stay aware of developing local situations.
Bill Fink's a travel writer. This piece on The Blob and El Nino is in Yahoo Travel. You can find that there. You can also visit Bill at BillFinkTravels.com and follow him on Twitter at FinkTravels. Bill, we'd love to stay in touch with you. Thanks so much for being on the phone with us.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me here.
You're listening to The Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. The cold November rain. Matt Bubala with you on Radio 720 WGN. Roger Badish up in the newsroom. Morning show with Max Rorion coming up here in just a little bit. Then your Lou Manfredini and Mike Steven with Outside the Loop. All the excitement of a Saturday on WGN Radio. And as Roger's been reporting, we've got some Cats basketball coming up today at 1 o'clock. Roger was mentioning during a newscast where I interrupted him and started chatting with him there's positive zero and negative zero. And I don't know the veracity of this website, but I just did a quick search on Yahoo on zero and positivity and negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And math4.com, and I don't know what kind of math website that is, but I'm going to assume it's a good one, writes, when we teach math at home, we start with the counting of numbers. Then we move to either a classroom setting or a homeschool setting, and we build on those with negatives. And zero is sometimes left behind. Zero seems to be an understood concept because it's so much a part of our lives as grown-ups. But zero is a very unusual bug. We think of the numbers as either positive or negative. But actually, he writes, all real numbers can be divided into three categories. Positive, negative, and zero. This is one of the reasons zero can be forgotten in all this mix. With so many other numbers to be positive and negative, zero is truly in a class all by himself.
Or herself.
Sure, yes, you're right.
Come on.
So they get into like some equations to show you how it works out. But
zero is zero.
Isn't positive or negative. It's just
can't
zero.
Make up its mind yet.
Yep. So there you go.
There you go. Thank you.
And then they embedded the Schoolhouse Rock. Zero is a hero.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we've been talking all night about the lottery and the happy room and everything like that. And
I'm still in my happy room.
I've been teasing. Well, let's take ourselves out of our happy room for a minute. Because, Roger, and here's where Colleen, my wife, makes some sense when she says she would be upset if we ever won anything more than $100,000. Because $100,000, we could pay off the home equity loan. We could pay off buy the new cars that we so desperately need. We can put away money for the kids' college education. We could do things that wouldn't inherently change our lives. I wouldn't quit a job. We wouldn't do anything crazy. But it would make life a little easier month to month and secure a little bit of the future, at least for the kids. But when you win big, big amounts, sometimes things go awry. So here are some stories of lottery winners where things didn't turn out quite so good. William Bud Post won $16.2 million in the Pennsylvania lottery in 1988, but was $1 million in debt within a year.
Ooh.
I wish it never happened, Post said. It was totally a nightmare. A former girlfriend successfully sued him for a share of his winnings.
Oh, no.
And his brother was arrested for hiring a hitman to kill him in the hopes that he'd inherit a share of the winnings.
See, this is why I made you got that stipulation now that nobody can move up into the next circle.
But they're in the circle. Maybe he didn't give his brother a dime, and his brother's like, well, then I'm just going to kill you and see what I can
but that's
get.
See, you're taking care of your friends.
I am.
And
so hopefully that'll save
know.
Me from the hitman
sure,
issue.
Sure.
After sinking money into various family businesses, Post sank into debt and spent time in jail for firing a gun over the head of a bill collector. Bud now lives quietly on $450 a month and food stamps.
Wow.
He won $16 million. He's getting food stamps.
But see, he didn't have a good advisor.
Clearly
if he kept
not.
Blowing money on business investments... Come on.
You got to bury a certain amount so that you just have a certain amount coming
yes.
to you. You know, if you don't take the annuity, some of the money you get, you put into an annuity. You buy your own annuity
sure.
that you can't touch, that you just get the interest from for a certain amount of years. You know what I mean? So you got, here's your little stipend that if everything else goes awry, you still have this,
right.
especially with $300 million. Take 50. I mean, if you took, $50 million and made just 3% on it every year, you'd have more than enough to live on, right?
Do IRAs and Roths, do they earn interest?
Yeah, well, sure. An IRA or Roth is like a 401k or something like that. So
but
you're putting
those
it into
earn interest.
Well, it depends on what you put it into. I think within those, you could put it in mutual funds or stocks or bonds or whatever.
I know you pay taxes when you take it out.
Right. But there's maximum contributions to those things. So you'd probably blow through that. In 2004, Sharon Tirabassi, a single mother who had been on welfare, cashed a check from the Ontario Lottery for $10.5 million Canadian.
Oof.
She subsequently spent her winnings on, quote, a big house, fancy cars, designer clothes, lavish parties, exotic trips, handouts to family, loans to friends. And in less than a decade, she's back riding the bus, working part-time, and living in a rented house.
There you go.
Luckily, she did put some of the money into trust for her six children, who can claim the money when they turn 26. So there's
26,
that.
26, not 21. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it to him at 21. 21's a bad year to be getting them.
Well, I mean, I'd say 21 because, you know, traditionally.
Because you're legal then.
Well, but legal and they should be done with college by then.
Should
and
be,
ready for their
but
lives.
They're still just 21. And
yeah,
I think we all remember some shenanigans at the age of 21. Now, the biggest thing that went wrong of all would be a gentleman named Jack Whitaker. And he kind of had a bad time with his lottery winning.
Really?
Yeah.
How bad was it?
Oh, man, now the website is, of course, crashing on me.
Stupid.
Doggone it, you. Come on!
You'd buy better computers, doggone it.
No, that's true. Okay. Andrew Jackson, Jack Whitaker, winner of a 2002 lottery jackpot. So now these people we read about, they won $15, $20 million, whatever.
Right.
Okay, they didn't clear. Craziness.
Okay.
Jack won $314 million in the Powerball. At
Whoa.
The time, the largest jackpot ever won by a single winning ticket in the history of the American lottery. And that's the thing. I do say that whoever wins, I know it's not going to be me. I hope it's one person. Because it's always it's split between four and five people, and then nobody gets a just crazy amount of money. They get
but that's better, though.
Maybe it's better for them. But I want to see somebody do just so. But you're right, because here's the guy that won the most ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's changed. I don't know if largest jackpot, at the time, the largest ever won by single ticket. So I don't know
what
if that's.
What year? 2002?
2002, yeah.
Yeah.
So. He was the 55-year-old president of Diversified Enterprises Construction, a contracting firm in Putnam County, West Virginia.
So he was already making good money. He's got his own business.
He had a net worth at the time of $17 million.
Oh, wow.
And then he wins $300 million.
Right.
How crazy is that?
That's not fair.
He purchased the winning ticket at a supermarket in Hurricane, West Virginia, where he had stopped for a deli breakfast sandwich and to get fuel for his vehicle. Jackpot that day was $314 million. He took the cash option and received, after taxes, about $83 million.
All right, that's not bad.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So he pledged 10% of his winnings to Christian charities, including several churches he affiliated with.
Oh.
Some built great things, did this and that. He put $14 million to establish the Jack Whitaker Foundation, a nonprofit organization that provides food and clothing to low-income families in rural West Virginia. So that's great.
Very good.
And then for the deli manager who served the biscuits at the convenience store where he purchased the winning ticket, he purchased a $123,000 house and a new Jeep Grand Cherokee and gave her a check for $44,000.
Wow.
So he was very generous.
Yeah.
Then things start going awry. August 5th, 2003, less than a year after he wins the lottery, thieves break into his car while it was parked at a strip club in Cross Lanes, West Virginia. The thieves made away with $545,000 in cash that Whitaker carried around in a suitcase.
Oh, come on.
When asked why he would carry that much money around with him in a suitcase, do you know what he said?
No, I need spending change.
He said, because I can. Which is a pretty good answer. Dumb,
it's good
but a good answer.
Right, exactly.
In another incident, two employees at the club, the general manager and a dancer manager who were romantically linked, were arrested and charged with a plot to put drugs in his drinks and then to rob him.
Oh, God.
On January 25th, 2004, thieves once again broke into his car, this time making off with $200,000 in cash.
He was more careful that
time. Yeah, I only bring around $200,000.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And actually, that was later recovered. Now, it really gets sad. On September 17th, 2003, Jesse Tribble, an 18-year-old on-again, off-again boyfriend of Whitaker's granddaughter, Brandy Bragg, was found dead in Whitaker's home. Coroner's report indicated that he had died from overdosing on a combination of oxycodone, methadone, mepiridine, I've never heard of, and cocaine.
Oh.
A year later, December 20th, 2004, Brandy Bragg herself was found dead on the property of a male friend after being reported missing on December 9th.
Mm.
Cocaine and methadone were found in her system. On October 11th, 2005, there was a hearing related to a 2003 DUI arrest that Whitaker had. A visibly shaken Whitaker lashed out at local law enforcement agencies for focusing on his troubles while failing to arrest anyone in relation to his granddaughter's death. He was later sued by Caesars Atlantic City Casino for bouncing $1.5 million worth of checks to cover gambling losses.
Mm.
He countersued them, claiming that his losses were supposed to be credited due to a slot machine he developed and that they, in fact, owed him money.
Oh.
On January 11th, 2007, a legal complaint against him alleged that on September 11th, 2006, thieves took all of his money. The thieves, according to the account, went to 12 branches of the City National Bank and cashed 12 checks. The incident came to light because Whitaker had not been paying money to a woman who had previously sued him. Kitty French filed the complaint earlier in the week requesting court costs and money from Whitaker. On July 5th, 2009, Ginger Whitaker Bragg, Whitaker's 42-year-old daughter and the mother of Brandy Bragg, who was the granddaughter who passed away, she herself, Ginger, was found dead. No explanation was given, but officials did not expect foul play, but she was only 42.
Mm.
And according to this, now this is on Wikipedia, so it's, you know, it's not
right.
real hard sourced here, but
well,
according to this.
It's all factual. It happened.
Supposedly. I mean, it's on, you know, it's not in Time Magazine. This is on Wikipedia. But this says on December 28th, 2015, so that's 2 weeks ago, Whitaker checked himself into the Greenbrier Rehab Treatment Facility in Sulphur Springs, West Virginia for heroin, powder cocaine, and LSD addiction problems. So if that's true,
money corrupts.
This is why my wife does not want to win the lottery.